T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Should the Patriots bring Antonio Brown back?
It's an excellent question.
They have to.
Free AB!
They just have a problem in New England. It's called Antonio Brown.
Dale Arnold.
And do you feel that this could be a team that can make a long run in the playoffs and perhaps a Super Bowl?
Well, I don't have a prediction. You know, again, I think we have a plan.
Do I really look like a guy with a plan?
Rich Key.
AFC North.
You got the Cleveland Browns as well, Shime.
Baltimore Ravens.
Ooh. Ravens. John?
I am also on the Ravens.
Ravens? You guys like the Lamar Jackson that much?
Dale and Keith. Middays.
By the time we went back out for halftime, I had a foursome.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
We might not be able to play with that foursome today.
Not here.
Well, not here. Not around here. I will say this, and I, in all honesty, I do give the crews a lot of credit because they're out there all night long trying to make sure the roads are cleared and everything. The drive wasn't great, but the traffic was terrific this
traffic
morning.
Was great.
That was nice. Thanks
a
for staying off the roads.
A lot of folks decided to stay off the roads, and I appreciate
you. To let people with really important jobs like us come to work
crucial.
And do these. Without this, I don't know where we'd be as a society.
It's like when the radio station, and they don't do it often, but they'll occasionally send out an email and say, you know, only essential personnel need to. And I feel like saying, how essential am I?
I remember I got pulled over one time. It was one of the like the driving bands, like you weren't supposed to be out there on the road, and you had to have nighttime sports radio. So I had to drive in. So I'm driving home at like midnight. There's like all kinds of like plows and stuff and police officers, and they see me, and the cop's screaming at me. He's like, "What are you doing out here?" I'm like, "I had to go to work. I'm important. Call my boss. how important I am."
Essential personnel. That's
like,
what
I was essential.
Right.
I had his business card. I was ready to go. Like, call him. Like, take it up with him. Listen, if I could stay home, I would have.
In fact, I wouldn't mind if you called him and tell him that I should stay home.
Please.
If you wanted to work that out as well. We'll talk to Willie McGinnis in just a few minutes and get his thoughts on how the Patriots have performed here so far. With all of the stuff, with all of the angst, I will remind you again that they are 10-2. Mm-hmm. They are tied for the best record in the AFC. In fact, they're tied for the best record in the NFL. They're, what, 4-10-2 teams now, I think? It's not like the end is nigh. It just was a little disappointing.
But the Patriots' history has indoctrinated the fan base into expecting nothing but Super Bowls, or at least Super Bowl appearances or whatever, and I understand that. And then you look at, first off, how they lost to Baltimore, and you look at how Baltimore's played since.
Yeah, that's what's scary about it.
You know, and then you project. It's easy to project out and say, you know, well, Now you don't have the home field advantage all of a sudden.
Because it shouldn't be. Like, if you lose to a good team, you're like, yeah, you lose to a good team. The Patriots last year lost in the regular season to a bunch of bad teams, of teams that didn't make the playoffs.
Detroit.
But for some reason, it was easier to write that off. Like, it was the fluke play in Miami, or it's like, well, Pittsburgh was due. Like,
was it Tennessee good. Also?
Tennessee. Yeah. And you're like, well, maybe Vrabel. Like, you're coming up with these different excuses. But then when you lose to Baltimore, it just felt a little bit worse.
Yep.
Time to talk to New England Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis. Willie is brought to you by Town Fair Tire and Stoneham Ford. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram, as we do, at Willie McGinnis. Good morning, Willie. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing okay, thank you, with a little snowstorm outside here and, you know, that New England weather that we've all come to love. With what you saw Sunday night from the Patriots, is this a normal hiccup that happens from time to time? To the Patriots late in the season, not a lot, but from time to time? Or was it more troubling than that to you?
Well, I mean, I think it's football, and I think, you know, it happens to a lot of football teams. But I will say at the end of the year, the last quarter after November, we talk about where real football begins and, you know, all those different things. And as a team, you want to be gelling and playing your best football and peaking, kind of getting ready for the playoffs. There's some things that you want to fix, and it does trouble you. You know, the offense is still not where it needs to be. The defense, they went out and, you know, didn't play as well as they wanted to. You got to give a lot of credit to the Houston Texans. They came out on both sides of the ball. They executed the game plan. They played at a high level. They made more plays than the Patriots. And, you know, I come from the old school where there's no excuses. You got to go out and you got to perform regardless of what happens. And didn't play great football. And it's frustrating, of course, as a player, because you have a level of expectations that you want to play at. And like I said, at this time of the year, you want to be playing your best football. But it happens. 10-2 is not the end of the world. I know for some people, they're looking at the team and they're going crazy. And, you know, they're counting this team out. But I will say, if there's any team that's able to bounce back and make adjustments and come up with some type of saying or theme to get themselves going, you know, it's the Patriots. So be interesting to see how everything plays out after the, you know, after the last four games. Still a lot of football to go.
How much of the offensive struggles would you put on Tom Brady?
Well, I think he's going to take ownership in a lot of it. He's the leader of that offense. He's the quarterback. He's not playing great football. The pieces around him are not playing. I mean, he's going to take blame. That's what all leaders do. It's not about one person, I think. I think it's about the entire, you know, offense and not being in sync, not gelling, and not being on the same page. And, you know, it's tough. You got three new receivers. You got a new tight end pretty much. And when you got guys in position, critical positions to make plays and you need them and you're counting on them and they don't have a lot of experience in those positions to help or enough, you know, experience to go out and make those in-game adjustments or improvise or whatever the case may be that's going on when you watch, you know, the offense, it's frustrating. It's frustrating. And everybody wants to play at a high level. But, yeah, it takes a little bit of time. And I know saying that week 13, it's kind of, you know, it's kind of bizarre, but they'll figure it out. These guys are going to work their butts off. Those guys in that locker room, they work hard. And I said the new pieces, they've got to figure some things out and be on the same page. And at the end of the day, I believe in the system. I believe in their coaching staff. And I believe the players will work, you know, work hard to fix it.
Oh, Willie, is there still that level of I don't want to say fear, but respect for the Patriots? I know you guys had it when you were here. The Patriots have had it for a long time where you'd even see coaches, good coaches, make mistakes out of overreacting to what Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and the Patriots brought to the equation. Is there still that fear or respect for the Patriots?
I think there's a tremendous amount of respect for the Patriots and what they've been able to do when everybody's counted them out and everybody said they were done or too old and all the other things that you hear, and they just finished the year strong. They take everything in and they build off of it and use it as motivation. I think nobody's not having that respect for the Patriots still with the second seed at 10-2 in this league, going into the last quarter pretty much of the season. So I will say, you know, having respect and being able to earn it and go out and play at a certain level, they've been able to do that over the years. And I think teams understand that and teams are not going to take them light. But when you see them lose, you know, in a certain fashion, that may give teams help. Hope and they're the defending, you know, Super Bowl champion. So you're going to get everybody's best every single week, because if you can beat the Patriots, I don't care what your season looks like, if you're going to the playoffs or not, or you're competing to get in, if you can beat the Patriots, that's a trophy for you pretty much, because they've had a level of excellence for so long. So you know, respect is earned. They've earned that respect for teams to fear and look at them that way. But you got to go out consistently, you know, continue to play at a certain level to maintain that, if that makes sense.
We're talking to Patriots Hall of Famer and NFL Network analyst Willie McGinnis. The two losses the Patriots have this year have been to teams quarterbacked by Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson. Similar skill sets and certainly maybe a harbinger of what's coming in the NFL. Is this the sort of football that you think is going to be kind of grabbed on by everybody going forward, those that can?
Well, I think there's only one Lamar Jackson and one Deshaun Watson. I think these guys do a phenomenal job. One is a little bit different, you know, I think in Deshaun Watson, not really having the design runs and the power running game that he's used in. And I think he throws the ball, you know, he's looking to throw the ball a little bit more down the field, a little more accurate, big play, better arm, accuracy and all those different things at this point in his career. I think Lamar Jackson's just a freak at that position, being able to run it and has developed as a pocket passer, being able to throw it and throw it on the move. And Greg Roman, you know, for the Baltimore Ravens, does a great job of scheming for him. I think this will open the door for more quarterbacks, but we've had these quarterbacks. You got Patrick Mahomes. You got Russell Wilson. You had Cam Newton. You've had these quarterbacks in the league. I think the sustainability of being able to play the position that way and take care of yourself and not get injured and not, you know, take the hits, that's the question. How long can you do it and play that for? So I think they'll be the same, you know, for this league. We'll have those type of quarterbacks that can come in and show that they can do it. Like a Kyler Murray, he's a young guy, first pick overall. He's got to prove that he can do it and sustain it and play at a high level. And then you have your pocket passers, guys that can come in and throw it from the pocket and be semi-elusive. You know, your Aaron Rodgers, your Drew Brees, you know, your Carson Wentz, those type of guys that you've had, and your traditional pocket passers. So I think there'll be a lot of different types of quarterbacks. And, you know, it's great. It's great for football.
Do you think if a guy like Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes was running the Patriots offense and was here, they would have more success? Or because of some of the issues they've had on the offensive line, some of the, you know, the receiver problems that they've had, that this is as good as they could do?
Well, I think all those players play great within the systems that they're in, and those coordinators do a great job of scheming with them. I will say Russell Wilson's played with, you know, in the past, he's probably had one of the worst O-lines since he's been in the league, and he's been able to overcome that and make big plays and play at a high level, especially when he's had the run game. You know, it wasn't about the passing game earlier in his career. He developed and got better at that. I think his Super Bowl year, he only threw the ball 25 times a game. So he's evolved as a quarterback. But you've got injuries, you got to factor in, and guys not being there, it changes things. And he's had, I think, more offensive line combinations than any other quarterback in the league from the time he's been in the league. So he's done great with his system and what they've been able to do with him. I think the same, you know, with Lamar Jackson and some of these other quarterbacks, Pat Mahomes. I mean, Andy Reid does a great job with him. You can't compare the success and the longevity that Tom Brady has had in that system with Josh McDaniels to any other quarterback in this league. I just think it's too unfair. It's not even close to production, the wins, the Super Bowls, the playoff wins, the division titles, all the different things you can think of. It's not close, and it will never probably be duplicated. So I think all these players do a great job in their own perspective systems, and we'll see how this year pans out.
Speaking of the NFC, all of a sudden the Niners drop to, what, a 5 seed, and Seattle gets up to the 2 seed. They have to play each other. I think it's the last game of the season. How do you see that playing out in the NFC?
Yeah, but you can't get a hold of yourself, Steve. Yeah. I mean, you got to remember, 49ers still got to play the Saints.
True. So, number one seed right now.
They got to play the Rams. You know, they've got to play the Bills. So there's some other games that's going to factor in. You know, you can't look ahead. When you look ahead, that's when, you know, things happen. So you got to stay focused and have that tunnel vision. They got a pretty tough schedule. This is the hard part of their schedule, these last four games, these last eight games for that matter. And they've been able to do well and weather the storm and play at a high level. So it's amazing you can be 10-2 and end up in the fifth seed. But, you know, that's the way things are set up. And I would hate, regardless if they're on the road at that, you know, that fifth seed, I would hate to have to play them in the first round because they're a good football team and they travel well.
And did Russell Wilson insert himself again as one of the top candidates for the MVP?
You know what I say with this MVP carousel? It's whoever plays last. Yeah. Whoever you see last, that's the MVP. Russell Wilson, I think, never left. I think he's always been there. I think it's a two-man race at this point. I mean, you had some other quarterbacks as well. I think Deshaun Watson was in the mix. He's right there. Christian McCaffrey was in the mix. And, you know, before the last couple of weeks, Dak Prescott was in the conversation. So you've got some great quarterback play, but I think right now, if you had to have two front runners, you know, it's Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Willie, it's always fun to talk football with you. We'll talk again next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care. Willie. That is Willie McGinnis, Patriots Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst. To the point Steve was making, if the playoffs started today, which is the dumbest phrase ever, but right. Just for the sake of our discussion, if the playoffs started today, the 10-2 San Francisco 49ers would have to visit the 6-6 Dallas Cowboys. They'd have to go on the road.
Right.
After which, immediately, Jason Garrett gets fired.
And they get smoked.
Yes.
That happened last year, too. I mean, they weren't 14-2. They were Chiefs and Chargers, both 12-4. So you had a one team, really good, one of the best records. They had a better record than even the Patriots, and yet they had to go on the road. Again, I don't hate that, though. I really don't mind it. If you win your division, even if it's a bad division, the goal should be you win the division, you get a home game.
Agreed.
You know, you don't get
I disagree with that. I would rather they seed them by record in each conference because, I mean, if you did have a team go 14-2, why the hell should they have to go on the road?
Well, then why would you just get rid of the
division? Because
then?
I don't love the division thing anyway when it comes to playoffs. I don't mind the division winner being in. I just don't think they should be rewarded for being the best of a bad lot.
Well, I mean, then in that case, I can understand the thought because you look at the NFC East right now. I mean, NFC East is full of two average teams and two poor teams. And Philly's not asserting themselves. They had a phenomenal opportunity this past weekend. They're not asserting themselves. Are you rewarding the Cowboys with a first-round home game because they beat up on a bad division? And they said that about the Patriots for the longest time, but the Patriots have blown that figure out of the water.
It's an advantage, yes, but it's also you're hosting in the wild card. And based on your record, you're going to be on the road the divisional, you're going to be on the road in the conference championship. So if you get to the Super Bowl, you will earn it.
True.
And it also ebbs and flows. It's not like there's a division where every year 9-7 gets you in, and you're like, oh my God, these guys again with the 9-7? Like, it goes up and down. I mean, there was a year.
The fact that the Cowboys even lead that division tells you how bad it is right now.
Atrocious.
Yep.
So bad.
And so you got a year where it's awful. The whole division is awful, and yet the Cowboys would be, as it would play out today, would be rewarded by a home playoff game, and I just don't think that's right.
Yeah, but the owners look at it in terms of how you get rewarded for the regular season. A little bit of a reward.
The division. You want a home game, win your division.
Yeah. Yep.
It's as simple as that.
I mean, the 49ers, in this case, you know, they've got one of the best records in all of football. They happen to play in a division where the Seattle Seahawks also have one of the best records in all of football.
Yep.
But you're going to make them go on the road?
Well, you have two chances to beat them. They had one chance already.
Yeah, they got another chance to do it,
and maybe they could steal it back from them. And, you know, I like that, too. And then you make it more difficult for whoever, you know, it's even more important. Like, there's just so much riding on that division that game's so much. Because if that team knew, hey, we're going to have a home game anyway, not that big of a deal. Just so much more incentive, I think, on these teams. And usually you get the division games. They try to schedule them where you get the division games at the end of the year. So if there is a situation like that, like Dallas and Philly, I think, is the second to last week of the season, that could be for the division. And just like, you know, the 49ers Seahawks could not only be for the division, but the difference between a bye and a road game in the wild card. Like, I think that's great.
They could theoretically, I think, meet in 2 weeks after the end of the season. If the Niners are 5 and they win and they're the lowest seed to win, the Seahawks are at number 2.
They're at number 2 right now but I mean, but they have the same record as the Saints, so it's all still up in the air. And well, then Green Bay's 9-3.
Niners have the Saints, Falcons. They win that Falcons game. They got the Rams. I'm at home. I'm assuming they'll beat the Rams. But then you got the Niners. You know, the Seahawks.
So that is the last week of the season.
That is 12/29. That's what it says. Yeah,
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Were you a little bit surprised, as I was, that Willie McGinnis said Tom Brady deserves some of the responsibility for how the offense is performed?
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's being realistic. You know, I
agree with him.
You go head in the sand, he's great, everybody else sucks. It's to Steve's point earlier. Well, Brady gets all the credit all the time, and he should. Like, the guy's the best quarterback ever. And when the offense is clicking, it's because of Tom Brady. When a receiver has a career year, it's not because the receiver had a career year. It's because Tom Brady's his guy. Like, that's one of the reasons why Edelman is probably not regarded outside of New England as good as he is, because you got Tom Brady.
Right.
So how good can Edelman? I mean, it's just like Wes Welker. You got Tom Brady. What do you want? So when the offense struggles, it's not, well, all these other guys around him stink now.
Also, Willie's not going to him just like Teddy Bruschi, even Rodney, they call it like they see it. They loved their time with the Patriots. Willie, obviously Hall of Fame, Patriots Hall of Fame guy, loves the Patriots. But he's not going to sit there and try to blow smoke up your skirt. It's just the truth is the truth. He's you can't give him the vast majority of the credit when they win and then give him no blame at all when they lose. Right. Just, if you're the greatest of all time, you've got to do more than what he's doing.
Hell, I don't even think Nick Wright is saying that Brady's the biggest problem the Patriots have. But even the most ardent Patriots fan has got to say, yeah, the quarterback's part of the issue here. And look, I'll even go back to OTAs. If you say that he still doesn't have enough trust and relationship with N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers, could that trust and relationship have benefited if he'd been here throwing the football to him during OTAs?
That's a legit question. Absolutely a legit question.
Can't hurt at the very least. Again, I don't know exactly how much it helps, but it doesn't hurt at all. The N'Keal Harry thing, tough because he goes down. So even if you're there at OTAs, he misses so much time right. And then comes back into it, but still.
Didn't he skip OTAs 2 years in a row the year before, too,
they
right?
won the whole thing
last
year, and he skipped OTAs. I guess the argument would be you had more familiarity with a lot of the receivers. Like, you knew those guys.
You didn't have as many new faces.
Even Dorsett you had played with. Right. I don't know. I mean, but yeah, that's why going into this year, I didn't think it was as big of a deal. But if you're looking for every little piece to how can you improve this team, that I think that's on the list. That's low on the list for me, but that's on there.
Yeah, it's part of the list. I agree. And which makes you think, and I think I said it because that's why I asked if he'd missed OTAs 2 years in a row, because I think I said it the last year, too, that he was going to, 2017 or 2018 OTAs. I thought that he was going to be there at those, but. You wonder if that's part of the equation. You got to put it on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't you?
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Joe's in Lincoln. Hey, Joe.
Hey, how you doing? So, I was on the Brady bandwagon. I swear, before Pete Shepard, I've loved Tom Brady.
That's not possible.
Not before Fred Smirlis.
I know. But anyway, and handicapped by the fact that Steve actually knows something about football, but. It's not that Brady's terrible. It's just that kind of the opposite of Marcus Smart. I'm seeing less of the good Brady and more of the bad Brady. And I'll tell you what, the couple of bad Brady's, and then you can tell me whether I know what I'm talking about or not. I see a lot more balls hitting defenders' hands before the receiver's hands. And just to show, Deshaun Watson didn't throw anything close to an interception last game. The Patriot defense couldn't do their usual thing because he just played a great game where he didn't force the ball. Brady forces the ball these days. He just does. And the second thing that I really have a hard time with, and I notice on short passes, he throws the ball, to me, harder than he has to sometimes. And I don't remember ever thinking that before about Tom Brady. And it's not like they're on the receiver, but they're so hard that they become harder than they used to be.
Well, I'll address that part first. If he is, I don't recall seeing the same thing, but it may very well have happened. May very well be happening. Maybe, like to your earlier point, if the receivers aren't getting the separation, maybe he feels he has to drill it in there a little bit harder. And maybe the fact that the defenders have been able to get hands on the football, maybe that's because you're not getting the separation that you had in past with previous receiving corps. All those things, and maybe it's. Maybe it's part of what you say, too. But all those things you can, again, put on this list that we talk about. Those are these are issues that you can't define 100% what the reason is. It's probably some of both.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30 today. I have bad news for all of you out there, and
bad
I'm sorry
news.
To be the harbinger of bad news. Chris Scheim is not here today.
I wonder where you are.
So we've had to kind of postpone Karaoke Tuesday, unless one of you two lads gets an overwhelming urge to burst into song.
I wouldn't rule it out.
All right. I thought you were saying no, but I said yes.
You never know. What did Scheim get? The Patriots flu or something?
Yeah.
He woke up and saw the snow.
There was no traffic out there.
Looked outside. It's when it was
snow. Sneeze.
He lives in Brighton. How far has he got to go?
Actually, the best commute.
He lives in Quincy.
I live
in Brighton.
Whatever.
The best commute I've had.
It actually was. I didn't mind at all this morning. It was pretty good. 617-779-7937. Right back to the calls. We've got a trend.
Listen to Tom Brady's interview anytime on the radio.com app. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Bruins look to make it 8 straight wins tonight. They take on the Carolina Hurricanes at the Garden. Puck drop at 7.
Attaboy.
Celtics return to the floor tomorrow night, taking on the Miami Heat. Patriots get back to practice tomorrow as they get set for Sunday's game with the 8-4 Kansas City Chiefs. And Seattle beat Minnesota on Monday Night Football. Seahawks are now 10-2, and they've taken the top spot in the NFC West.
Sorry.
If you wanted to add something,
Steve,
great,
what are you listening to over there?
What are you watching over there?
Okay, you really want to jump on me about this? Videos of my grandson, my 2-year-old grandson, in his sledding in his first snow.
Don't be afraid to wait to the commercial.
Might even have a cast on his hand or something. I'm not sure.
What happened to him? What's going on? Get him to call the show.
Like little Tim.
Why do you hate children? What's wrong with you?
I don't. I love all children. They're all great. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now back to Dan and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Can we just talk about dumb football players for a moment?
Oh, come on.
I refuse to let you talk about me like that.
Not the guy who was playing the video of his grandson sliding down the hill outside of his house during Rich Keefe's award-winning Trending Now.
Wasn't it adorable? Not that one either. Totally adorable.
It was actually really cute.
Thank you.
So I
posted on Twitter.
Now, his son Zach goes on IR, and he's pushing his son down this hill on his little toboggan, and I'm thinking, well, what I don't want to hear is Zach go, Zach, no.
He actually shoved him so hard he grunted. That's a strong man. Zach's a strong kid. He shoved him so hard.
And his son went airborne at one point off the little hill there.
Yeah, imagine doing that to your son. Not that I did that to him.
No, you never did. No, let's talk Josh Shaw for just a moment. This is the Cardinals defensive back. He's been suspended for the rest of this year and all of next year for betting on football. According to ESPN.com, he bet on his team to lose.
That's where you're going to run into some problems.
He placed a parlay bet November 10th at Caesars Sportsbook in Vegas.
Parlay partay.
The second halves of a trio of games. The bet included the Buccaneers -1 point total against the Cardinals. Tampa Bay was leading at half, 17-13. Buccaneers won the game 30-27. He bet on his team to lose as the second half of the parlay partay.
He didn't like the halftime speech?
He didn't like it.
He's like, okay. I don't love our chances
here,
guys.
He's even dumber than you think.
All right.
And I think he's pretty dumb.
Yeah.
He put in an application for a betting account at Caesars.
Yeah.
He listed professional football player as his job. So Caesars notified the Nevada Gaming Control Board and the NFL.
Oh.
Couldn't lie. The guy's never told a lie, this guy.
Oh, come on.
He couldn't just say, I don't know, anything else that you do. You could say, I'm a professional gambler. And then just go about your business. He had some good intel, though, on that hat. Did he win the bet?
No, he lost the bet.
Oh, well.
But it was against Tampa?
Tampa.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're betting your team to lose against Tampa. Couldn't you wait till you were playing, I don't know, San Fran or Seattle?
The number was too big.
This was too enticing.
Right.
He's looking around. He's like, oh, that guy's kind of limping around a little bit. Right. I don't know. That guy's going to play. Oh, this isn't very good. Poor motivational speech at halftime. Like, I'm going the other way here.
Wait a minute. He made the bet at halftime?
Yes, yes.
He was live betting.
Awesome.
Halftime. He did the second half. Unbelievable. And he couldn't help himself. He had to do a parlay, which we've always said here on the show, besides Shime, who's adamant, he's very pro-parlay.
And he loses my one word all of advice, the parlays.
Stay away from the parlay. Exactly. It's very simple. You lose all the time. Because how many times has Shime come back on a weekend and we said, how'd you do on your parlay? Well, technically, I lost.
Yeah, technically.
Technically,
cut it as a poor man stealing.
He goes, well, I got 2 out of 3 of them. I go, yeah.
If
you did them individually, you would have won.
Yes.
But you felt like you needed to parlay because he loves a big, you know, return, and he lost. So this guy's doing parlays in the locker room at halftime and not even winning. So what's going to happen to him?
He's already done for all of this year and all of next year. Now, supposedly, in the aftermath of finding out about this from Caesars, the NFL sent out a memo or a letter to all the players and you know, reiterated, hey, don't gamble on the NFL here.
And if you do...
don't list professional football player as your occupation on your application.
Are pro athletes allowed to do fantasy football? Are they allowed to do, like, daily fantasy leagues?
I don't know the answer.
Like that? I'm curious.
Find out. But how'd you like to be the union who has to automatically appeal the suspension? Yeah. And just like...
No, you're just too dumb. We can't even do this on your...
Hold on. Why?
What's wrong with this guy? You listed what?
I am.
So he was on IR, which is how he could make the bet at halftime.
Ah.
He was hurt at the time.
Yeah, he didn't pull his phone out of his
He wasn't sitting in the locker room.
Well, who would do that?
I mean, whoever.
Who would ever... Call
this
set up
might be the dumbest player in the NFL. First of all,
I don't know.
You bet on your team to lose. That's sort of a red flag. And second of all, you tell Caesars you're a professional football player.
Yeah, I don't know why that's even an option.
Right? Electrician, carpenter, pro football player.
Why does Caesars need to know what I do for a job? It's got nothing to do with
apply for an account, you have to... You know, show that you're
your occupation.
Good. What was even worse is when he asked his head coach for a letter of reference.
That's right. I mean, oh gosh, it's just.
I don't get it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know what this guy. Well, listen, he's trying to make a few extra bucks. Feels like he has some insider info here. Hard to pass that up.
Was he a rookie? No, I don't know.
What's this guy's name again?
Josh.
I don't know.
Josh Shaw.
Because rookies still make almost a $500,000, so it's not like you're going to pick up a couple hundred here or there and worry about it, you know, unless he's got the bug.
Did
he show signs of having a bug there, Rich?
He may have.
I'm just asking you. I'm not asking you for any other reason
you're just curious.
Right.
He was on IR. He happened to be in Vegas. Thought, what the hell, I'm here. You know, I think our team sucks, so I'm going to bet against us.
His current salary is $805,000.
Damn. Wow.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Just
whenever we play dumb criminal games, we're going to include Josh Shaw's name on the list.
Throw him in there. Yep. Throw him on the list.
Back to the call, 617-779-7937. Sean's on the cell phone. Hey, Sean.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
What's going on?
Before I get into my point, Dale, I think you are correct when you say that Josh Shaw is the dumbest player in the NFL. If it is the Josh Shaw who is from USC, go back and look at his college career and some of the unbelievably stupid things that he did. He shouldn't even be in the NFL.
It is USC, Josh.
He lied about how he hurt his ankles. Yeah. Remember that one?
He is not an intelligent human. But before I get sidetracked, because I get sidetracked every single time I call on this point, is that the Patriots in their running game, right? What I have noticed, number one, is I noticed it on the first series that Isaiah Wynn returned that he is a monster as in the run game. He got to second level so fast and completely sealed off the linebacker, something that the turnstile couldn't do beforehand. Marshall Newhouse, the ticket taker, never could reach second level, which just crushed our running game. Secondly, what I noticed, and even though Ted Karras, I think, is much better in pass protection than Ferentz will ever be, Clemens actually has a little bit of athleticism, and you could even see in that second half that he could actually get to second level and block the middle linebacker, something that Karras could never do because he is one of the most unathletic offensive linemen that I've seen the Patriots have in a long time. So putting those together, I think the running game starts to come into form, and I think that you've seen that to a degree. My issue with the Patriots in personnel-wise is that they still have not gone out and got a fullback since Devlin has gone down.
I agree.
They did briefly, and he got hurt.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they had Jakob Johnson, and then he got hurt on IR.
They had two.
Now they use Landon Roberts. You guys, I mean, do you think they should have gone out and gotten a fullback? Are there fullbacks available? Is there a pile of fullbacks somewhere? Like, I don't know. Is that an option?
You can use guys on your team.
And they're using Roberts right now. Roberts has been playing just about every week at fullback.
The fullback is a dying position in the NFL.
It is. The Pats were using it. They had a good one, but now they, you know.
If you have a fullback, first off, he better be real good at special teams, too.
You got to play all those.
You got to do something because nowadays, I can't imagine it's more than 25% of plays that you have a fullback in the game.
The Josh Shaw story, so those that don't remember it. Yeah, it's great.
Back in his USC days.
So Dale told you the story about how he was betting on his team. He is hurt right now, but still, he's betting on his team, doing parlays.
Betting against his
team. That's why he thought the team would lose. He's not out there.
So prior to his senior season at USC, he was suspended after he lied about how he suffered injuries to both of his ankles.
Yeah.
He had originally told the team that he suffered the injuries while jumping from the second story of an apartment building to save his nephew who was drowning in a pool.
So who wouldn't do that, right?
That's pretty heroic.
Except the pool was out back. He jumped out the front window.
Actually, the truth is he suffered the injuries after jumping from his balcony to avoid the police, who had been called by a neighbor after hearing an argument between him and his girlfriend.
Oh, boy.
Why would you insert the heroic story? Wouldn't you just say, I was working out?
Yeah. Right.
Right. I was playing basketball.
Right.
The fact that you prop yourself up as a hero makes it look so much worse. You get your nephew involved. Leave that poor kid alone. He's got nothing to do with you being an idiot.
Well, maybe he's actually brilliant because how do you hurt both legs playing basketball? Both ankles.
You're trying to guard Tim Hardaway. I don't know.
He gets you first one way, then second the other way.
Killer crossover. You're done.
Double crossover.
Yeah. And this is a guy who told Caesars his occupation is professional football.
Pro football player. So I take it back. He can lie because this is a guy who's told one of the most infamous lies that we've heard in college football the last 5 years.
Yeah, it wasn't like he was saying, "Look, I can't lie to these people. They asked me a question. I have to give them an answer."
Whoever it was at Caesars that actually saw that said, "No, let me look this up. There's no way someone puts that down."
And by the way, Caesars and all of those major casinos, they're not messing around for anybody.
Right.
They've got licenses involved here.
Yep.
They immediately go to the Nevada State Athletic Commission, Gaming Commission, and say, "Hey, listen, just so you know." And then they go to the NFL and say, just so you know.
Yep.
They don't want to take a chance on messing anything up.
Absolutely not. I wouldn't be surprised if Caesars contacted the NFL the same time they contacted the Gaming Commission. Why would you? There's all sorts of crossover going on between casinos or gambling sites and the NFL right now. Why would you put anything of that in jeopardy?
And, by the way, you've got a team coming into Vegas next year where, believe me, there will be scrutiny for stuff like this.
Yeah.
He's a dope.
Yeah. It's just, you almost look at it and say, really? That's the best you can come up with is, you know, come up with anything. And I wonder if his teammates look at it like, really? That's what you did? You bet against us? I mean, that's
might be tough to go back in that locker room.
Half those guys will be gone in 2 years anyway.
So will he.
I doubt he'll be there anyway.
Yeah, agreed.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got Kiefer Madness coming up at 12:30. We get right back to your calls. It's Dale and Keefe with Diassi Sports Radio, WEEI.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now back
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray.
To Dale and Keith.
Run amok and flat out deceived.
On WEEI.
Our Twitter follower, Dice, is concerned. He wants to make sure that Josh Shaw's nephew is okay.
That's a good point. You're throwing him in there.
No.
Was he drowning?
Were you
or
able
not?
To save him with two broken ankles?
He's like, actually, somebody, a real hero, did
what,
jump in.
What
and
I'd
save
really
him.
Like to know is, does he have a nephew?
He may not.
That's a good point.
Yeah, he may not.
Pretty good possibility.
Think of that. You're right.
Genius Josh Shaw might not even have one. 617-779-7937. You heard during the award-winning Trending Now, when it didn't get interrupted by Steve D'Ossi's grandson sliding down a hill outside.
Getting big air.
He's launched there.
Right?
Yeah. But you heard during the award-winning Trending Now, as Rich told you, the Bruins are playing at home tonight against Carolina.
At 8 o'clock?
No.
Right, no, they changed it. They changed because it. Of the weather.
It's just got to work.
Now it's 7 o'clock. Yeah.
Tomorrow, Bruins defenseman Matt Grzelcyk will join us on the show.
Very good.
So we'll talk to Matt. We visited with Matt during the summer at the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon.
Yes. Yes.
Obviously, a Charlestown kid. His dad's been on the Bull Gang. John's been on the Bull Gang for literally 50 years at the old garden and the current TD Garden. So Matt always got the whole idea of the Jimmy Fund anyway, but he'll join us on tomorrow's show. We'll talk to him about this current streak that the Bruins are on. Back to the calls with you guys. Mike's in Wakefield. Hey, Mike.
Gentlemen.
Mike.
So I was wondering if I could audition for the Tuesday karaoke position for today.
Yeah, no. Got to get on a better phone because this isn't doing your voice justice.
That's true. You got to get in the right cue zone, Mike.
That's right.
Why would we want you to sing on our show?
What would be your go-to karaoke song, though? I just want to know.
I have a gift for Elvis.
It's got an Elvis gift.
All right, I got to admit, you've intrigued me for one brief shining moment.
All right, make it count, Mike. You got 10 seconds.
Who tells you it's a gift?
We're going to find out. Maybe you will. What do you got, Mike?
You guys ready?
Let it rip.
All right.
We're going to regret this.
Oh, have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you.
Steve became the Jordanaires.
Yeah, Steve's doing a nice job. Let's back up.
Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree.
I give you credit for going for it.
I'm not going to say gift, but I'll say not bad.
Not acceptable. Too bad out there, you know?
Yeah, I'll take that.
Somewhere right now, Shime just got into his car and started driving.
Not on my watch.
Wait a minute.
We promise you karaoke on Tuesdays?
There you go.
By the way, this is not open auditions.
No, it's not.
For the rest of the program. That was a one-off.
This isn't EEI Idol. We're not going to have people call in.
Bridget, no more. No more singing. Bridget's answering the phones. And
gave it a shot.
And I give him credit. He went for it.
He did. He went for it. Well, what are you going to do?
He had a little trouble surrounding the beat, but,
not his
so
fault.
Did Wiggy tough. When Wiggy did karaoke
Tuesday.
Not his
fault,
Tuesday.
Though. He didn't realize the music was going to be in there.
True.
So he wasn't
and I
sure
think I stepped
go.
On it first with my background vocals.
You had that distracted him a little
the
bit.
The Jordanaires threw him off.
But overall, not terrible.
617-779-7937. Adam's in JP. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's going on?
Good.
You know what? The only difference I'm seeing from this year and last year, to be honest, on the Patriots, they lost two games in December last year, but I've never seen Brady like this before. It makes you feel like it's not the same season. I know that Rex Ryan said that it was the worst Patriots team they've ever seen, but this year I feel like it might be, to be honest.
What is different? What are you seeing from Brady that's the way he's acting that's different?
Well, I didn't see him yelling at the receivers like this last year. And also, Steve, a lot of respect for you. Mm-hmm. But he definitely has some fluttering balls this year. Like, a little bit different than last year, to be honest.
Somebody said that 2 years ago, too.
No, but I got to be honest, though. How many times this year, Steve, have we seen him overshoot guys,
agreed?
By like 5-8
that
yards?
Happened to be open. Agreed. I've said the same thing. You've got to put some of this on Brady. But in terms of yelling at the receivers, okay,
he's had a little Dan Marino tendency here lately.
He has, but he's also had a number of times where he had good reason to. You know, I mean, when right. when you give a signal to a receiver, where you wave for him to go downfield and he doesn't do it, that doesn't just because you're a rookie. You're doing that when you're 9 years old playing in the streets. When the quarterback waves you on, you
it's
go
pretty
deep.
Simple. Yeah.
Right. That's not some classified hidden signal. That's like go deep.
I have a hard time saying that they're the worst Patriots team though with Brady.
No.
They're just not. Again, 0-2, they won 9 games and missed the playoffs. 0-9, they were 10-6 and got smoked in the wild card round.
Yep.
This is a team that makes it to the conference championship game every year. So you look at some of those years where they lost in the wild card round. Obviously, there's the Matt Castle year where they missed the playoffs. But under Brady, it's one of the worst offenses. It's on par with the 13 offense. It's on par with probably the 0-3 offense. But it is because you have one of the top three or four defenses under Belichick, you add it together, it's not one of the worst teams.
We have a tendency to believe stuff that Pro Football Focus writes when it agrees with what we think, and we mock it when it doesn't. But I'll just give you, senior analyst Sam Monson reviewed the film of this past week, and this is what he wrote about Brady.
Oh, he saw the All-22?
They said he reviewed the film, so I don't know.
I would assume that's what it is.
He said, and I'm quoting, "We've seen the New England Patriots struggle for an identity on offense in the past. We've also seen Tom Brady surrounded by a weak supporting cast. But the difference now is that he's no longer able to paper over those cracks simply with the excess greatness he's carried around for most of his NFL career. Brady is now 42 years old and just needs a little help from those players around him in a way he didn't always need. Despite his numbers looking far more pedestrian this season and the Patriots coming up short in critical AFC showdowns, Brady remains ranked inside the top 10. In terms of PFF grade, a play-by-play account of his actual input into the offense, Brady is not the problem in New England, but for the first time in a long time, he might not be able to overcome what is."
I think that's actually well said.
Yeah.
I think that he's not the single problem, but he's also not at the level anymore where he can take Rashay Caldwell and Doug Gabriel and bring them to the AFC Championship game. And that's fair. I think that's a fair assessment, because you're not just saying, oh, he's done, screw it, but you're also not just saying that it's everybody else's fault entirely, too. Like, other years, he's been able to make up for less of a supporting cast, less of an offensive line,
true,
or whatever else it is. So I think that's, out of all the things we've heard, all the different piping hot takes as it relates to Tom Brady, I think that one makes the most sense to me.
617-779-7937. Bottom of the next hour, we've got Kiefer Madness. I understand, and I never know what Kiefer Madness is because we like it to be a surprise.
Right.
But I understand it's more than one.
How about a Madness medley?
A potpourri.
Could be.
That's coming up at 12:30.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, as long as Steve's intrigued, we should be okay.
Taylor Keefe with Diassi Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.